Chapter 5. The Partial Truth. The emergency room in St. Peter's Hospital was full of people, but the child psychiatrist soon found the group around Ricky's small bed. "I'm Dr. Greenway," he said to Diane. Looking quickly at Mark and Hardy, he said, "They'll have to wait somewhere else. I only want you to be with Ricky while I examine him." "I'll take Mark to the cafeteria," Hardy offered. Walking downstairs, Mark thought about Ricky. He was very worried and wanted him to wake up, but he was also afraid that Ricky might tell the doctor the whole story. Then everyone would know that Mark was lying. After they had got their food and begun to eat, Hardy pointed at Mark's eye and said, "So who did you fight with?"
"Someone at school," Mark said.
"What's his name?" Hardy asked. Mark wanted Hardy to stop asking questions so that he wouldn't have to keep telling more lies.
"I don't want him to get in trouble," he said.
"He won't," Hardy said. "So what's his name?"
"You think I'm lying, don't you?" Mark asked nervously.
"I don't know, kid. Your story just doesn't make sense," Hardy said. However, he stopped asking Mark questions and they finished their meal in silence. Returning to the emergency room, they discovered that Ricky was now in the psychiatric department. When they got there, a nurse told them to sit in the waiting room until the doctor had finished examining Ricky. Hardy gave Mark money to buy a cola from the drinks machine, and they watched television until Diane arrived half an hour later.
"Thank you for staying with Mark, Sergeant," she said. "Dr. Greenway said that Mark can see Ricky now."
"I'll go then," said Sergeant Hardy. "I hope Ricky gets better soon." Mark threw his cola can into the wastebasket and followed Diane to Ricky's room. Just as Sergeant Hardy was leaving, his boss arrived, together with another man.
"The FBI is investigating the Clifford suicide," Hardy's boss said. "This is Larry Truman from the New Orleans office. We found child-sized fingerprints in Clifford's car. Did the Sway kid say anything about being in the car?"
"No," Hardy said, "but I got the feeling that he was lying about something."
"We need the boy's fingerprints," said Truman. "Has he touched anything here that we can take?"
Hardy looked around and suddenly pointed to the wastebasket. "The cola can in there," he said. Truman took the can, put it into a plastic bag, and the three men left the hospital.
"I'm responsible for all this," Mark thought when he saw Ricky lying in the hospital bed. He felt like crying, but didn't want to in front of the doctor.
"Mark, for us to help Ricky, I must know exactly what happened today," Dr. Greenway said in a very serious voice.
Mark looked at his mother's frightened face, and then at Ricky, who looked so small in the hospital bed. Mark knew he had to tell the truth, most of it at least.
"Is this conversation confidential?" he asked.
"Completely," Dr. Greenway promised him.
Mark told the doctor everything that had happened, except that he had actually been in the car with Clifford.
"Then after I pulled out the hose, the man got out of the car and shot himself," he finished.
Diane was horrified, especially as she realized that Mark's story was different from what he told Hardy.
"You boys actually saw that?" she said in a shocked voice. "It's not surprising that Ricky's behaving strangely."
What the boys saw was so frightening, especially for Ricky, that he went into shock, Dr. Greenway explained to Diane. "It's called post-traumatic stress disorder."
"He'll recover, won't he?"
asked Diane.
"Yes, eventually he will," Dr. Greenway answered. "But for now, we have to make him feel completely safe.
You and Mark must stay near him as much as possible. If he sees you when he wakes up, he'll be less frightened.
How long will we have to stay here? Diane asked.
A week or two, Dr. Greenway answered. Diane looked worried.
I've got a job, she said. My boss won't be very happy.
I'll call your boss and explain the situation, Dr. Greenway offered. And I'll call the boys' school, too.
Thanks, I'd appreciate that, said Diane,
and gave him the phone numbers. Thank you, Dr. Greenway said.
I must go now. I'll see you in the morning.
The moment Dr. Greenway left, Mark began to cry.
I'm sorry, Mum. I'm responsible for all this, he said.
It'll be all right, Diane said, embracing him. We've been through worse things together.
When Mark stopped crying, Diane suggested that they get some sleep. She and Mark lay on the extra bed in the room. Diane fell asleep immediately, but Mark lay awake, thinking and worrying. Finally, he took some money from his mother's purse and went to the cafeteria to buy a drink. Sitting down at a table, he noticed a lawyer's business card that someone had left there. He took it and read it, and then decided to keep it.
I might need a lawyer if the police ever find out that I lied about Romy, he thought, putting the card in his shirt pocket.
He returned to the room and eventually fell asleep.